You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes!
The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
It's the Cooligans, stupid.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
There it is. All right, why do you get applause and I don't?
We got applause. You got to say both names.
Okay.
I got to wait for your applause to finish before I say
applause,
mine.
Applause doesn't activate until both names are said.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, ask the audience out applause. Don't ask me.
We're excited to be here today, coming to you live from New York.
Oh, God.
Let's go.
All right. Well, we're definitely going to get in the weeds in MLS if you start the show that way.
Hello, I'm Andrew Wiebe. Thank you so much for joining me.
How's Kansas City, dude?
How is Kansas I'm doing all right, bro. Today, obviously, we're focused on all things American soccer. A lot to discuss in regards to NWSL draft happened last week.
Sure.
Been a bunch of moves within Major League Soccer.
We'll talk about that.
Without Major League Soccer, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
People leaving out of here. People, they're like, I'm done with this place, you know? Okay.
I don't even know. You said six different sentences, the beginning of six different sentences is one.
So, no, we're talking about all those things, and we're here live on YouTube. If anybody in the chat wants us to talk about anything in particular, in regards to American soccer, please put it in the chat. We'll make sure we try to get to it. If you super chat it,
We're
definitely going to get to it, okay?
Also, thank you for joining us in el YouTube.
At YouTube. Okay, let's go. I forgot who messaged me the other day, but there was one of our supporters who purchased elyoutube.com. Remember when we first
We
moved from Twitch?
Right.
From El Twitche.
El Twitche.
Then we went to El YouTube.
We should also link El Twitche to our YouTube.
Okay, so that's what he had asked. He's like, hey, the renewal is coming up. Do you want me to renew it? And I'm like, I'm not going to ask you to renew it.
No, I can't ask you to spend
your
money.
So, but thank you for doing that. So it did expire, to my knowledge.
Oh.
I guess we could try it again. I don't know. I don't know if it...
Shouts to eltwitche.com, which was...
Oh, no, it still works.
Yeah?
El YouTube still works.
Oh, El YouTube. I thought you were checking El Twitche.
No, El Twitche I don't think works anymore. But let me see. And Twitch still works.
Let's go. Shout out to my guy frivolously spending his money so we can have this bit.
Thank you for the support. So those are both still active. Subscribe. Okay. So where do we
and
get?
David Day, we will talk about what's going on with the Galaxy Supporters Group.
That's on the docket.
Yeah. We'll talk about that. So if you want to know what's going on, stick around for a little bit. But first, let's talk a little bit about, we were talking a little bit about making money. Just before this, okay? And how I learned these skills.
I'm quite unfamiliar with the process.
I learned these skills as a young lad avoiding homework, okay? But, whatchamacallit, there's MLS has really turned the corner. A couple years ago, Don Garber said, like, you know what? I think we want to be a selling league. He came off that earlier message of we're going to be the top league by 2022. And then when that didn't happen, my guy was like, hey, I got plan B right here. We're going to be a selling league, get rid of all of it. And it started to, Miguel Almirón, I think, was like the first like real big, like, oh.
Yeah, that was the record signing at the time.
Record sale.
Yeah. Leaving MLS, obviously going to Newcastle. If I remember correctly, please correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, the chat will do that. Again, they'll do our homework for us.
Robin Seguini said, El YouTube, how does one spell that? It's ELYUTU.
El YouTube.
El YouTube.
I thought it was self-explanatory.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Did he go to Alexis's school?
You didn't
cheat enough, Robin.
Yeah, dude. Come on now. Also, why don't you just watch someone else spell it and then you take that information, bro? Whatchamacallit. So, obviously, that big sale was a big moment for MLS, right? It was a sign, especially to a lot of young Latin American players, South America, where a lot of European clubs aren't as don't have as strong a scouting network outside of watching a couple Boca Juniors games, right? It's a real chance, especially with some of the connections that we have here in MLS, we as MLS, as America, to sort of get a little bit of a leg up, especially because when players do go to Europe at a young age, like if Miguel Almirón went straight to Europe from, I forgot what Paraguayan club he was at. I can picture the badge in my head, but I can't remember.
Olympia?
No, it wasn't Olympia.
I forgot what club he was
at. Whatchamacallit. If he had gone straight to Europe, he would have been on a bench. Would have been on a bench for a little bit or loaned around. Maybe he ends up at, you know, Anderlecht or VVV Venlo or whatever that club's name
Whoa,
is.
Whoa, you okay? Know? You feel like you got a stuttering issue? That
I need to go see a doctor. Someone said, que lo que volume, though? Are we too loud or too low?
Oh, let us know.
Volume. Lanús, which is hilarious because the word anus is in it.
Okay.
but yes, Lanús. Right, he would have been loaned out and stuff.
Right.
So are we at that moment right now where MLS is the perfect place to go if you are a, say, sub-23-year-old, maybe still has a little bit to prove, player in Latin America? Is there a better place to go?
So you're talking about players from Latin America or just in general?
I think it's in general.
As far as the development to go to Europe. Before you go to Europe, what would be the ideal place to go? Is that what you're asking? Well, I saw a...
some people saying the volume is fine. Some people saying the volume is too low.
Interesting. It seems fine to me. Levels look all right to me. We could raise our volume, I guess.
No, this is exactly where we need to be so we don't get a lot of feedback.
So, I can't do too much. We're at about negative 20 on the stream. So that is a little low.
Okay. Maybe can you turn it up?
I can't. No, it's highest.
All right, let's see what happens.
That should be a little bit better. Hopefully
that's better.
Hopefully that's better. I don't think this. Some people saying it's fine. Some people saying it's too low. Raise your volume. I don't know what to tell you.
Shout to Manjusandu back in the chat.
Hey, Manjusandu. Thank you.
He got some wild predictions for this next weekend, by the
so
way.
So I'll say this because I read there was a tweet from, I believe it was Nico Cantor, announcer, son of Andres Cantor. He was talking about the Mudryk sale to Chelsea and how, the cost of it, the price of that sale, and how Manchester City bought Julian Alvarez from River Plate, I believe, for something like 24 million or something, compared to 100, right? And as far as game matches.
Turns out it's more than 100 because remember we were talking about there was like that 22 million pound donation.
Yeah.
That comes above the sale. That's not part of the fee.
Okay. All right. So it's wild. So
Top Bully's just out here dropping money.
So when you compare Mudryk, who doesn't have that much actual experience, that many matches, he does have, Champions League, and he is a good player, and I'm sure he'll be fine.
And he has played in Europe.
So, but Julian Alvarez, who had more matches, more goals.
And a World Cup.
More minutes, yeah. I mean, this was before the World Cup.
Still has it, though, yeah.
But before the... when Manchester City got him at a very very low price.
Mm-hmm.
So he was putting out the theory that why is a player who plays in the Ukrainian league is getting so much money compared to a player who plays in South America and has more experience, more goals, has just, you would think, a better resume. And it just simply sounds like that. If you are a team that plays in Champions League and you are a player that plays in Champions League, you are worth more on the market than a player that has more experience that comes from South America, especially Argentina. They put out some good talent. All right.
But are you worth four times just because of that Champions League experience?
According to the market, yes. Because what they're simply saying is that even if you play in the Argentinian league, play in Copa Libertadores, it is not as challenging a competition as playing in Champions League and playing, I want to say specifically Champions League. I don't know how challenging the Ukrainian league is, but it seems like if Shakhtar Donetsk was not
challenging, but for a different reason.
if he wasn't at Shakhtar Donetsk and we just played for another club in Ukraine that was not Champions League,
like Warsaw, obviously not in there, but saying a club that is good, not, but it's not.
So it feels like MLS is. getting closer, or if not, equal to or above the Argentinian league when it comes to how it is perceived in the world market and how much, you know, clubs are willing to pay for players out of that league.
But I would also say to that point that it's probably risen above it, not simply because of playing style or, you know, whatever, the on the field reasons or maybe the training or whatnot. Yeah. Facilities are better here. Players have said that. But also, you're going to get paid. You don't always get that promise in some South American leagues,
yeah,
including the Argentinian league. There's been problems. Also, political unrest.
The value of their money is very bad.
Right. Why get paid? You know what I mean? Cost you more money to go to the bank and cash
it. Yeah.
But also, remember, there's the threats to player safety, a little bit of anonymity you get when you're here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those things are valued by players. Not all of them. I think Miguel Amirón said, I went because Tata was there and he wanted me. That was it. Like he's like, I don't even know where Atlanta was, dude. So it wasn't like this decision to be like, I got to get my family out of here. Also, we're talking about younger players. You know, they're not really seeing that. I would assume they're not really feeling danger yet. You know what I mean? It's not like they have kids.
Yeah, it's weird. I've heard our friend, Ellie Menjum, who was filming a documentary out in Argentina during the World Cup. I didn't realize, and I don't know if it's always been like this or whatever, but apparently Argentina is pretty dangerous from what I've heard. As far as like getting robbed, remember his wallet was taken? Ellie?
Well, he was also hit. In a party.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But I have...
You're going to get pickpocketed no matter where you go.
I have heard of this, and just in general, that Argentina is like just a little bit more like hood than we may think.
Oh, no. But Buenos Aires, for sure.
Right.
Yeah, especially the Boca region. The Boca area is hood as hell.
Yeah. So, all right. You got to be careful out there.
Nothing wrong with that, bro.
I'm just saying. It's just that, you know, Argentina doesn't really market itself that way. But
Boludo doesn't sound like you're trapping. You know what I mean? It sounds like you're arguing about a sausage being cooked incorrectly. But, yeah, no, absolutely. But, I mean, remember, what's his name? His family got kidnapped. And then he came here.
Yeah. I mean, those are like wildly sort of extreme things, but even just
has
like,
a player ever been kidnapped and their family at gunpoint here in the U.S.?
In any sport. There must have been some somebody breaking into someone's home.
Yes. Home invasions.
Just straight up kidnapping.
Kidnap a family at gunpoint? I don't think that's happened.
Like
that's
in
like
a movie?
Yeah, that's a movie scene. No. That's taken, bro.
It happens. I guess it's more common in South America.
That's what I'm saying. And I'm not, again, nothing wrong with South America. Great place.
I thought you were going to say nothing wrong with kidnapping.
No. Hey, listen, I'm a different type of entrepreneur. I don't need to do that. But hey, everybody's got their own.
Profit and loss. I got my friend Jeffrey Epstein on the phone.
Hold on. No. It's a cost analysis phone call.
We're just catching up.
Oh, you didn't know he wasn't dead? pretty sure Chivas USA had some dudes held hostage.
Yeah, that's how you get them to sign for the team.
Alan Pulido was kidnapped back in Liga MX. So, I mean, look, obviously not, this doesn't happen a lot, but it's happened. Is there less of a threat of that happening here in the U.S.? Yes. So a lot of players do like the life that comes along with being a player in MLS, which is you have a little bit more money than the average person. It's not like you're working at a factory, but you also get the anonymity. You could just go to go to a Cheesecake Factory.
Lex just put in the chat, he said, you should check out the video from Matt Damon, Matt Damon, about going to a match in Argentina. His father-in-law wouldn't let the kids or women go to the match because of how dangerous it was. I have seen this. Have you seen this?
Matt Damon?
Matt Damon's father-in-law, I don't know who he's married to, but he's Argentinian. He goes to, I think, a Boca match, and he's like, oh, let's get the kids, let's get the family, let's all go. He's like, no, we're not doing that.
No. So it really is like, what was the movie where they played soccer in jail?
I don't know.
I forget. It's like The Longest Yard, but like the original one where they played a game of football, if you will, jail. Okay, that's going to see a game in Argentina for a lot of people.
Yeah, Matt Damon's father-in-law is like, no, the kids are staying. Put on this balaclava. Let's go to the game.
Matt Damon's like, bro, let's bring the kids to a game. The father-in-law's like, you brought your bulletproof vests?
Pretty wild. So
But to that point, I think if you are the agent of a 21-year-old, 22-year-old, you know, potential national team star, if you will, with, yeah, let's say, Paraguay or, you know, Uruguay or Argentina, maybe to a lesser degree, more like Ecuador, Colombia, places like that. Would you not try to get your player in MLS? Would that not seem like the right place? Knowing that the moment that starts, you have the opportunity to start those negotiations with Europe. Europe is now watching. All right, so we saw John Duran, Durang, go from Chicago, which I believe he was only there for a year. He's 19 years old. And then he goes to Aston Villa for 16 million euros, 16 and a half million euros. Same club sold Slonina to Chelsea for almost 10 million, right? Montreal sold Ismaël Koné, who they found at a local park, by the way. The kid was playing on a local team.
Okay.
They sold him to Watford for 8 million.
Why do you say Watford like that?
Because it's just like, boom, this kid went from a
well-respected club.
No, I meant that in a good way. Okay, he went from a local club, kickabout with his homies, to going to Montreal, to now going to Watford. Matt Turner, obviously, we know. Adam Buxa, who came in, is now being sold out. Georgi Mihailovic going to AZ Alkmaar for $6 million. I mean, look, Montreal in the last year has made a nice call. And this is Euros. I wish they would have done this in dollars. But, dude, they made a nice clean... Where's Mihailovic? Six plus eight. That's a nice clean 14 million euro right there.
Good money.
That's good. What, 15, 16 mil? It's for what? Having one of your scouts walk by a park and buying a kid from, where'd he come from? FC Dallas? Georgi Mihailovic?
I mean, I would imagine they did a little bit more than that. Obviously, developed him and he brought him on board. The players are investments. Right? So they know. I mean, that's
good business. MLS is doing good business. We need to find a way to get in on the ground up.
The ground up or the ground floor?
The ground floor on the way up.
The other big...
which I just mentioned.
Yeah. Aston Villa, obviously, for 22 mil. Also, do you like the new wipe? You didn't even notice it. Anyway,
I did not know.
People see it. They'll see it in the chat. So Chicago Fire selling John Duran to Aston Villa. I've already seen a couple of the Aston Villa homies. Like Luis Miguel Echegaray, right. Who is
a big Aston Villa guy.
Yeah.
Won't shut up about it.
him and Prince William, right? Prince William was...
Really?
Yeah, big Aston Villa.
Is that the one who smoked crack? Or that's Prince Harry?
Harry is the crack guy. Yeah, did he do crack?
He did something.
Well, yeah, I mean, please be specific of what drug he did.
Allegedly. I don't know. It's in a book. He wrote a book. And let me tell you something. He went off. He banged. Yes. He lost his virginity banging like an older woman at near the garbage bins of a pub. You're a prince, my G.
Haven't we all?
You're a prince. You got a 700 bedroom palace, and you near the dumpster. No,
so he had how many? So John Durant. We'll move on from Prince Harry. I don't know where he lost his virginity. I hope it was in a. I hope he had a decent time. I don't know. I haven't read his book yet. Durant played. How long did he play for the Fire? Only one season, right?
A year. Yeah.
Yeah. So my main concern here. Happy for the young man. I think he's going to do well.
How could you have a concern?
My concern here is for the Chicago Fire. They've been awful the last couple years. They haven't made the playoffs. When's the last time they made the playoffs?
Who cares? They're making money. They ain't going to get relegated.
Still, you don't... I mean, do you not see Chicago Fire fans constantly disappointed in what their team has been doing?
I saw that for a long time, Chicago fans being disappointed in their team and them not making money. And now they've got Chicago Fire fans disappointed in the team, but they making money. So things are changing.
The fans are not like, oh, good. I mean, I guess we've balanced the books. This is great. Why do I love supporting this team?
Forget balance the books.
That has great accounting practices.
Forget balance the books. They caking. They're making money.
No, man. This is, there is always that balance.
Yeah, I did see the way. It looks like a butt.
It's not a butt.
Also, someone said Cooligans with the Microsoft Movie Maker effect. Mandy Sanders.
So the fact that, you know, there is always that balance of like, do we try to make the team better or do we try to make money on the in the transfer market and stuff like that? And they and both are significant. But I think the, you know, they with Slonina and Duran, this
Slonina going to Chelsea, by the way, if we didn't mention.
Right, right. This is a team that I think is going to be significantly worse than how even bad they were last year.
Look, they got the money, right? They're calling it the...
Okay, you keep bringing it. You keep bringing it. I'm going
to
say,
they now have a chance to, you know, bring in some new players. Hopefully, they have the scouting to find another John Durang, guys yeah. like that. People are calling your effect the butt wipe, by the way.
People, one person.
One butt. That's people. It's a dude wipe. Hey, not until we get money. but yeah, I mean, hopefully now they have a little bit of money to be able to go out and get some of those, you know, some extra players. Speaking of teams that need extra players, you know, preseason games start this week, right?
I do.
NYCFC, I believe, has four players total. I believe, if I do the math correctly.
We did mention at the end of yesterday's episode about NYCFC and that Alex Collins, it looks like, I did see a tweet that said that he is close to an agreement with Boca Junior. But now I'm seeing...
Roberto Abramovich is even talking about
it. Yeah, yeah. Several NYCFC people who cover
insiders.
The team are saying that negotiations are very much still ongoing with NYCFC. And, you know, there's still a chance. But we shall see. Maybe, you know, him hearing us talk about Argentina maybe affected, you know, influenced his decision a little bit. You can only hope.
Well, listen to us, Collins.
We've never been there, but we know what we're talking about.
You're going to look like 0350 Cent in a bulletproof vest playing out there, or you can just stay here.
Okay. Someone's saying a Star Wars wipe, which is not bad. I'll take it.
Is that what it's supposed to be?
I mean, it's not. I don't know what it's supposed to be. I found it online. I figured, let me just try it. I figured, let me try something new. We got the Coors Light, you know, little tag up there. So might as well.
I'm looking at some of these sales. I didn't, for some reason, market value at the time. Okay, because I was trying to figure out why is this negative. Paxton Aronson, his market value was 4.5 million euros, but he was sold for 4 million euros to Eintracht Frankfurt. Alistair Johnson. To Celtic. I mean, there's so many. This is just this season.
It's a good, I don't know. It's like, you know, I think there's year after year, there's always that improvement in those sales. It's generally a good barometer of like where the league is. There, you know, you to be relevant in the world market, people are not going to, if you're not selling players, then... It there's like a domino effect.
Also means that people don't want your players.
Right, right. So meaning they don't respect the league, they don't respect the, you know, the academies, the training, the philosophies.
Right.
It's a huge indictment. If you can't sell players, it's a huge indictment on what you are doing as a federation, because it all. So it's supposed to trickle down, right?
Right. Starts at the top.
And when you institute philosophies on how the game should be played, again, I'm like, I keep mentioning Johan Cruyff's book, but there's so many interesting...
But you just can't stop turning the pages on.
I can't stop. I'm just like, I'm swiping the pages. Yeah. But
going from app to app.
It's interesting hearing about his life, especially after playing, because he just talks about so many problems of how to go from a player to a coach to a director and try to say like, hey, this is how we should play. This is how the Dutch play, and we should do that, and we should bring in people who know football and so on and so forth. And the people who are good at the other things should just do that.
It's just a bunch of guys smoking cigars going, I don't know.
That's really how he describes it. Yeah. He's just like, I can't tell. I want to read the stories from the other perspectives of the other directors he was angry at. Because it sounds like Johan Cruyff was like a jerk. Like he's just stubborn and this is the way it should be.
But how do you get an academy a club, the front office, the board of directors. How do you get everyone to agree you've got the right idea and it's to change everything?
But so the only way would be like...
Have you ever suggested to your mother to change the seasoning in the arroz con pollo?
Well, it's like, especially somebody like Johan Cruyff, who has nothing but success in his career.
Yeah, but great players don't make great front office staff or
right,
coaches.
Right, but he was a great player, great coach, right. Won a ton with Barcelona.
Yes.
He changed the way Barcelona played the game, and Barcelona still played the game the way he thought it should be played.
100%.
So the interesting things were he was seeing...
The academy wouldn't be what it is if it wasn't for him.
But he was seeing that when he went back to the Netherlands and was like, yo, y'all are not doing the basic things in the like academy. Like, we're getting players to the first team, but they don't even know the things that I learned when I was in the academy. And it's stuff like that where he couldn't institute a policy and direction so that everyone could just keep doing that going forward, because he's like, it proved successful. Look at me. But he was just constantly fighting with people that were like just business people.
Come in.
Hey, thank how's you. It going? Thank you so much. You can leave right there. Oh, no, it's okay.
No, please, you're fine.
shout out to USPS. Let's
shout
go.
Out to Across the Street Postal Service.
that's the one we use.
By the way, we're having a great conversation about how do you create a club that follows a system? How do you change a club's ways? And our chat is simply finding ways to mix alcohol and wipes together. So they've gone with Coors
Look,
wipes.
As long as they're dude, having, as long as they're having a good time.
You know what? Welcome to the party. Go ahead. Mix amongst yourselves.
So overall,
could you say that there's a better league? I don't think there's a better league for a player. Picture we're agents. We own an agency, Cooligans right. Agency. And we've got a 21-year-old killing it at Lanús, which I keep calling Lanus because I think it's hilarious. Okay. Where would you suggest they go? Would you suggest they go to, say, NYCFC, which gives them a ladder to get into Europe, like we're seeing with Tati Castellanos, who also is now being sort of considered by Brighton?
Yeah.
Right? Would you consider that the right place to go, NYCFC? Or would you try to force a move to a club in Europe where they maybe aren't directly starting? Could you see
if I'm an agent, I'm going to go where I think I'm going to get the most money, right?
Okay, see, now we're talking my language.
I don't know. I mean...
You might get the most money, but is it the right opportunity? Because you may be giving up money in the future. You may take a little bit more now by not going MLS.
Right.
But then you're giving up the potential that they're going to make a much even bigger sale.
It's really hard to say because there isn't any... We don't even have a track record. We have a couple examples in the last maybe 3 years of South Americans coming to MLS and making the move to Europe. I mean, there's just not many. I mean...
Hey, Piti went to Al Nassr.
Oh, yeah. He's doing great out there. Everybody...
Is he still there?
He's still there. Yeah, okay. I saw some training video with him and Ronaldo.
Okay, so now he gets to play with Ronaldo. Maybe that's a guy he liked.
So it was definitely a good money move. Right. Cardi B out here. was it the best for his career? I mean, who knows? I mean, maybe for him, he's probably happy. I have literally no idea. But to try to... as of right now, my answer would probably be no. I wouldn't say go to MLS first and then go to Europe. It doesn't feel like we're there just yet, but I don't think we're far from it. Because just like I said, the at some point, it's gonna feel like you're going to be able to get more money from a player coming from MLS, or the sale will be higher from a player coming from MLS than Argentinian League.
For sure.
Or maybe even, not Brazilian League. I don't know. No, it's hard to say.
Yeah. I get it. Brazilian League Europe is...
And we're not knocking the Argentinian League, but it is like, it's the game with like no tactics, right? I mean, we've watched a couple games. It's not, outside of like Boca, River, a couple of the Racing, maybe it's like...
Yeah, Racing is good.
It's just a little...
Central Rosario plays really...
It's a little wild. Okay, you're not really going there to learn the fundamentals.
Look, there's a lot of clearing the ball, and it doesn't get clear. There's a lot of players looking up. I think Argentina League has more players looking up
Yeah.
During the 90 minutes than any other league in Latin America. Well, no, obviously the smaller leagues.
Yeah.
But then like MLS would.
Yeah.
We keep the ball on the ground a little more.
MLS,
here.
Look, I think it's...
Individual skill might not be there, but overall tactics, I think.
Yeah, I think there's again, the way the game is played here is just, I think, just a little bit different. And maybe certain teams appreciate that a player can come here and be in a little bit more of a rigid system. And maybe that player might fit in to
also helps you shine if you're a player that, let's say, you're a number 10 and you need this X system,
right?
Perfect place, as opposed to going to Latin America. You're like, why is the ball keep going over me? I'm looking up a lot, bro. By the way, Manager Sanders said that a potential an Everton manager candidate just walked through the door.
Okay.
Sate Tali said, if Don, meaning Don Garber, really wants this, should teams start hanging banners of the players they sold with the dollar amount? Hey, Chicago Fire would get a chance at a banner, bro.
Let's go. Put them up in the rafters. No, Fire have won MLS Cup. They won MLS Cup in 90...
Their first year. It's the only team to do it. 97.
Seven, right? Was it their first year or second year?
It's the first year.
First year, yeah.
Del Boy Zero says, I think the USA market is cheaper than Europe, and Davies and Almirón and Adams are showing greater value for young players when Tchouaméni cost $85 million, which is true. And you're going to have a lot of clubs that can go out and go buy an $85 million player. There's a lot of clubs where that better be four players.
Have there been any recent, like, straight-up duds that came from MLS that just truly didn't work out? I mean, I would say, I wouldn't say duds, but the ones that haven't...
I'm trying to think, because, I mean, some would have said Almirón. Remember when it took, like, I think something like 17 games for him to score.
Right. I mean, it's not a... Was Scotland considered a top five? No, it's not top five, right?
I wouldn't.
I mean, like James Sands hasn't really broken to the Rangers.
Young player, though.
Yeah, there's a... Who else came from MLS that really just didn't work out in... No, I mean, they...
Who came back? Has anyone come back?
I don't know.
I was like, yo, it sucks out there, bro.
MLS should allow for unlimited transfer spends and have it not hit against the cap. That'd really put gas on this Fire as a destination. Young DP rule will help, but it can even be even better.
Yeah, and Mike I've Thomas. Often said this. I think if you go out and sign a DP under 23, it should just count as the minimum, and you should get as many young DPs as you want.
Yeah, you know, I think by the time the World Cup is here in 2026, I think there will either be another DP or just a higher salary cap or something like that. The league should change dramatically. And
I think Tim Cook on the phone being like, hey, yo, we need to clear this up.
What's all this paperwork, bro? Just go. Just damn, sign him. What are you doing?
Bro, what you mean I need to figure out where to... He's at the supermarket. Like, I need to... I just want bananas, bro. I don't know. You take my credit card. Pepe is scoring like crazy at Groningen. Come on, Oscar.
Yeah, I wouldn't say a dud. I mean, look,
Carlos Vela came from Europe. We didn't sell him to Europe, but good shout.
Augsburg was just it was just bad. Nobody's having a good time at Augsburg.
It even sounds like you're having a bad time, bro.
Who is also there? The fullback from Atlanta United, George Bello, is also at Augsburg.
Is he at Augsburg?
Yeah, wow. He went there. And I don't know how much he's playing. Also, somebody tweeted this the other day. I saw this popped up on my timeline, but they were like, it's wild how the Bundesliga has been off for literally 3 months and nobody's even talking about it, which is, it is weird. Bundesliga has been before the World Cup, and they have not come back. It was the World Cup break, and then they took their winter break, and they have not returned. I think they're coming back soon. Maybe this...
That's crazy.
Bro, these
I haven't even noticed.
These players are going to come back with a tan, bro. Bro.
All 30 pounds overweight.
Going to be wild. Brian Reynolds went to Roma.
But he's also very young, and give him a chance.
Also, Mourinho hates him.
Yeah.
That's another one.
A lot of people thought Chris Richards
Bello
was...
Oh, Bello went to Bielefeld. Oh, he didn't go to Augsburg. Apologies.
Reggie Cannon?
Reggie Cannon is Boa Vista. He didn't make the World Cup. Yeah. He's not... Boa Vista always kind of fighting to stay up in the Portuguese league. Matthew Hoppe did not play in MLS, though.
I don't think he did, no. I think
he came from an academy.
It's a Schalke, too.
To Schalke, right? Yeah,
I believe he was at Schalke too, and then went to
LA.
Schalke.
Was he in LA something? He's from California, but I don't know where he played.
Happy, good shout though. And by the way, someone said Portugal is a better place. I think that's true if you are in one of their if you're on one of their three major clubs. If you're a Benfica, you're going to get sold for $100 million. Right. You don't have a chance. You don't have an option. It's in the contract.
Crimson Pizza asks, how's Zach Steffen doing at Middlesbrough? He's doing great, actually. He is. I just saw one of his posts.
He talked about why he didn't go to the World Cup. Did you see it? He said it was his decision.
I did not see that.
He said it was for mental health reasons. He didn't want to go.
That's not what I heard. When he said he was shocked and hurt that he didn't get a call up. But I think he said that when he took that break, that mental health break, like 2-3 months prior, he thinks that affected his standing in the World Cup squad.
Okay, I may have
right
misconstrued all of that.
I'm glad we're not like a hard-hitting news show.
No, this is why we aren't. It's because I'm here.
So Zach Steffen has, I believe Middlesbrough has like something like 8 wins in a row or 8 clean sheets in a row. Like they actually are doing very well.
Haji Wright would have been considered a bust even though he never came through MLS. Remember, he went to Cosmos so he could avoid having MLS involved in the
sale
to Europe. But now, what is it? I think Brighton is looking at him, right? Somebody's looking at him.
There's a couple offers, or it seems...
Potential
interest. Middlesbrough are currently in the...
Fourth place.
So
they're in a playoff position.
They're in the playoff. Getting to one of the first two spots that automatically get promoted doesn't look super likely. They're like, 11 points back, 12 points back? But still, not bad.
PFOC didn't come through MLS, but he's playing well. Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to really say anyone's been a complete bust. There's no one that I would look at and say, this is the reason we're not getting sales, you know, to Europe. I would look and say, I think for the most part, it's on the up and up.
Today's show, as you can see on the bug over there, I can't reach it, but you know what I mean.
This thing right here?
Today's show is brought to you by Coors Light.
Yes.
If you guys want to have a nice chill, like you don't have to be on and crushing it all the time like we are.
Bro,
okay?
First of all, you know, when I go home after a long day at the podcast factory, I mean, I'm just...
Literally wipe the soot off my face.
Right? I have to shower before I can hug my kids because I don't want to make them sick. When I get home and I want to kick my feet up and I just want to relax, you know what I mean? First of all, you got to have something nice and cold in your hand. That's me. I'm a cold drink kind of guy. And why don't you just give me a can that tells me it's cold? Like Coors Light. The little mountains on the front, they turn blue, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to grab this one from the fridge.
All right, yes. Because
that's all you hear when I hit the couch.
He needs photos because Alexis hates reading.
You know? I sit right in my divot that I've made into my couch.
Coors Light, thank you. Shout out to sponsoring the show today. If you guys want to get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart, all you got to do is go to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans.
That's right. Because look, guys, when it's time to unwind, Coors Light is the beer that I reach for. It should probably be the beer that you reach for. So when you want to hit reset, you know what I mean? Reset, some people would call it. grab the beer that's made to chill. It literally, the can is made to chill. Get Coors Light delivered to you, just like he said. Go to Drizzly, go to Instacart, go to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Okay, now let's move on to some drama in American soccer because we can't get away from it. But let's talk about the LA Galaxy. This was a statement put out by all the LA Galaxy supporters groups. I recognize LA Riot Squad, Angel City Brigade, Ultras, a bunch of them, right?
Angel City Brigade, Galaxy Ultras, and Ghost Ultras, Ghosts Ultras Galaxy.
Okay. And this is wow, because we know this happens within a lot of supporters groups overall. There's usually a lot of like disagreement. It's hard to get everybody on the same page. But the LA Galaxy supporters are like, we agree on this.
Yeah,
we
need to get in a way that Barcelona's front office couldn't.
They need to. They essentially the statement. I'll just read the first paragraph says, given recent news regarding Chris Klein's contract extension, leadership of the Los Angeles Galaxy supporters groups have unanimously agreed not to attend any matches until change in the front office is made. And Chris Klein, former LA Galaxy player, who is now the GM, I forgot his exact title, but he makes a lot of very big, important decisions for LA Galaxy. LA Galaxy recently were fined by the league $1 million.
And a significant amount of money.
And also a lot of general allocation money. Mm-hmm. Because of the Christian Pavon signing, they did the Matuidi, paid him a little bit under the table, and like, nobody needs to see this. And they're like, yo, we see it all. Right. So they got in trouble.
Sometimes I think you got to push the envelope, especially if it's stuffed with money that no one knows about.
And LA Galaxy are going to obviously suffer severe penalties, but Chris Klein obviously was a big part of that. And his contract was extended. LA Galaxy have kind of been living in mediocrity for, decade kind of. When was the last time they won MLS Cup?
It's been a long time, but they were very close to. They made the second half of last season fun. They've got some good players. They've got a good system.
2014.
Who's their coach? Greg Vanney?
Vanney, yeah.
He's got to be like, damn, I miss the old days, bro. Just get an MLS Cup whenever I wanted.
Right. So this is a time, I think, for... look, the one thing I'll say is, you know, shout out to ISC as well, who are having their conference this weekend.
Yes. Because
we've performed stand-up in front of a lot of supporters groups, including LA Riot Squad and Angel City Brigade.
That's right. And they do not take jokes well
sometimes. One of the guys, LA Galaxy guys, was so heated. We were roasting the LA Galaxy, but...
We roasted everyone.
We roasted everybody.
Kid legitimately wanted to fight me. Someone said that LA Galaxy says, we will tailgate with a Coors Light in the parking lot, but we will not enter.
Good. That's a good ad read. Yeah. Shout out. First thought about this. Look, if this is
Del Boy also said, I guess this makes the fans the guardians of the Galaxy. But
this is look. We don't usually see protests like this this serious in MLS.
I also think because it's MLS, my first instinct is to say, no one from the front office is going to make a change because of this. You know what I mean? It seems like MLS does what MLS wants. And the fans either enjoy it or don't. You know what I mean?
Well, Chris Klein has been in his in this job for quite a while, and
also it's not a good sign if people are trying to get you fired that don't even work there. You know what I mean? It's not a good sign.
But it's gotten to the point where look, and in the statement it said this boycott does not come from animosity to the players and coaching staff, rather a frustration with continued front office practices that have placed off-field business in higher importance than on-field product. So we know LA Galaxy, when it comes to business, they sign huge players. Zlatan sold the most jerseys in MLS. Like they're good at that aspect of the game. But the last few years,
first one they did, they basically needed the league to change its rules to allow it
with David Beckham.
Yes,
yeah, yeah. So they're good at that, and we know that. And I wonder if that being good at the business side of the game has allowed for people to maintain their jobs when, you know, the results on paper look really good as far as bringing money for the club and bringing up the club's notoriety. But when it comes to just the on-field product, I know they care about it, but it just doesn't seem like it's the biggest priority compared to just having a successful club.
I would say that's all of MLS. MLS is a business.
Well, every single club in the world is a business. We all know that.
Yeah, but they run at a loss. MLS is like, no, we make money around here.
Obviously, that isn't an excuse for the supporters to be like, oh, okay, I understand it's a business. So
no, we're all look, good. I get where the supporters are coming from. It's fine to sit here and say, hey, we don't like the business moves you've made because they've cost us now on the field as opposed to benefited us. Yeah, you have every right to protest. Every time I'm very cynical of protest within MLS because do they lead to anything? Sometimes they do. But it feels like in Europe there's a little bit more danger when there's protests.
Sure. Look, it seems like what the what they're asking for is for Chris Klein to be removed as from.
But
that,
can you
that
as can you actually see a person getting fired from their job?
Well, he so the Inter Miami, I forgot the guy's
name.
And
by the way, if you did break the rules,
he did break the rules.
Yeah.
And I don't know his specific involvement in breaking the rules, but he is the guy that gets to pick the players and stuff like that and involved in those decisions. So he should bear some responsibility.
Sure.
And so the guy from Inter Miami, I forgot the GM, his name, but he got suspended for a year. And removed from his job. So you would think Chris Klein would suffer the same penalty or something similar. But again, I don't know what his specific involvement was, and I don't want to just assume or accuse. But I would assume that years of mediocrity should be enough to lose your job.
Yeah, I mean, it really depends on what his involvement was. And really, how much confidence the team has that he can continue to do the job he's done and or do better. And if they have confidence in that, then I find it very difficult to believe something like this can't be mediated.
Andrew Johnson said, LA Galaxy is my opinion why MLS is seen as a joke retirement league.
LA Galaxy... That's like an MLS purist.
Right.
You can't say that because for most people in Europe, MLS... For most people outside of America, MLS is LA Galaxy.
Sure.
They could name you two other teams.
And just like, the Premier League to a lot of people is Manchester United.
Sure.
And to me, LA Galaxy...
Name me another Saudi team besides Al Nasser. I don't know one.
Al Hilal.
Bro, is that true?
I watch every week. okay. But the fact that, LA Galaxy is... to a lot, like you said, like the kind of the face of the league.
Mm-hmm.
And LA Galaxy, to me, kind of feels like, especially with, the noisy neighbors of LAFC, it feels a little bit outdated and old compared to all the flashy new things LAFC is doing. And on top of that, and this, what unites supporters more than anything is your rival winning a trophy.
Which is what I was going to say next. There's a little bit of an inspiration to like, hey, we need to make a change.
Yeah.
Because that guy just got a new car. And now
can we get 45 owners like LAFC has? Whatever you guys need to do. But LAFC winning Supporter Shield, winning MLS Cup, it's going to light a fire. It should light a fire under the other team. And then... when the news comes out of like, oh, we have to deal with a fine and a penalty that's going to affect our roster. This is not surprising overall. But I regardless of cheating the roster rules or not, to me it seems like it's kind of wild. Chris Klein has been at LA Galaxy as long as he has, given the poor results
for sure. And somebody said. Tommy G said, I'd argue LAFC is the face now of MLS. Well, I agree with you. Here's the issue. When we had the Complex show, me and Flex, he said, yo, can you get me the new LA Galaxy top? It says my name on the front. And I said, no, that's LAFC. And he goes, oh, they changed their name?
Did you make fun of him? Damn, English, bro, they don't know anything. Stay out of our sport.
Roasted him, bro. Keep putting orange in chocolate, you dummies. Jaffa Cakes might be the worst.
Yeah,
it's the worst bodega treat of all. But they don't know. They have no clue. So, yeah, well, I agree with you. If you care about the sport enough to look this way and maybe watch a match or two and just pay a little bit closer attention... then for sure you're going to know LAFC. You're going to consider LAFC the face of the league. Winning, big names, a lot of stars showing up to the games, cool stadium in downtown LA. There's a lot there. But if for the average person, they got no clue. Most people think we're wearing Manchester City stuff when we wear NYFC, NYCFC.
That happens sometimes. I want to get to this, and we're going to... Eric Winalda, and shout out to Andrew Johnson in Gully Squad, who made me aware of this. I saw some of the tweets in this Twitter, but Eric Winalda.
Oh, him and Alexi Lalas.
Him and Alexi Lalas are just going at it.
Neighbors over the fence.
Okay. I thought y'all were friends.
Yeah. Dad, get away from there, Dad.
But there. So Eric Winalda, this is, I believe, the tweet that started the whole affair. But he says, I can win the Open Cup with an MPSL team. He's quote tweeting.
Chris Kessel said 194 MPSL teams have left slash folded since it started. Can someone explain to me, like I am a little kid, how the system we have with closed leagues promotes stability?
Right. And Chris Kessel, I've seen on Twitter, he's a very much an advocate for Pro Rel.
Yeah, that guy beats his drum.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. Everybody's on you know, everybody's picks their side when it comes to this stuff. But Eric Winalda saying, I can win the Open Cup with an NPSL team, which is a wildly, just a very bold statement. Not even USL. Not even USL. NPSL obviously is I believe it's professional. It's not semi-pro. It is professional. But sure. it's at the bottom of the American pyramid, soccer pyramid.
Yeah, yeah,
not,
yeah.
Not, well, obviously not.
It's not top flight for sure.
We're not saying anything negative about the MPSL or right. people who play in that league. But it is what it is. But to say I can win the Open Cup with an MPSL team, and look, we had a USL team make it to the final in the US Open Cup final. They Sacramento Republic mm-hmm. losing to Orlando. And they were barely in the game.
He had success like 10 years ago with that Cal FC. Remember that? They had to wear like Chicago Fire tops and like black shorts.
He was a coach of Las Vegas Lights.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what got him started in the coaching career. Right. From what I remember, he picked, I believe it was an MPSL team level, a bunch of guys from college that never made it, guys like that. And he got pretty far. He had to get jerseys donated, which is why he wore Chicago Fire jerseys.
Right.
Because they didn't have their own.
So Mike Thomas says that's why the closed system leads to stability, because the higher up leagues have standards, the lower leagues have turnover because they're playing a numbers game. So look, this is always, you can have this debate forever, and a totally valid statement.
I like what the Aaron Hooper said. He said, do it then.
Well, I would say that's the Alexi Lalas mentality. He's always like, if you can make a pro rel, do it. Well,
speaking of Alexi Lalas,
and this is I'm putting it up on the screen. Alexi Lalas quote tweets Eric Winalda and about I can win the Open Cup with an MPSL team, and Alexi Lalas says, so can I.
Also, first response, guy named Senor Lopez goes, cap. Now you lying, bro.
So Alexi, being Alexi, being a little troll, he does this from time to time. Probably joking around, having fun, probably with his homie. But it got pretty serious, really.
Because speaking of LA Galaxy, Alexi Lalas was once GM.
Yeah, he was let go very quickly.
Said club,
it did not go well. And Eric Winalda brings this up.
He's back to the Jersey accent for this one.
He's like, Eric, is Eric from Jersey?
I don't think so.
I think he's from California.
But you got to go for the, just because of the way it starts.
He goes, no offense, but you a three-time failure as a GM. I am still waiting for my first opportunity. You are three strikes and back to the booth.
Damn.
Stay out of this and get back to makeup. They missed the spot.
He said, fuaga, bro.
Eric. Come on, man.
How could you possibly start that with no offense, but, and then do nothing but offend, bro?
Bro, Eric's just like, yo, you too pretty to be arguing on Twitter,
he
bro.
He put the extendo clip in.
So, at the very least, it's fun. It's entertaining.
I'm enjoying it.
There was I don't have the, do I have the one from Alexi? No,
did Alexi respond to
Alexi
it?
Alexi did respond to that. I'll look for it before.
Someone said grumpy this morning, Eric.
So Mario Salazar said, damn. Yo, yeah. he went in. He yeah. went in. And look, and it just.
A nice cold brew says, sheesh, when I'll let the chopper sing.
So when you look, Alexi was just being playful. He was Alexi like, was so playing can I. Tennis, I can also. Bro.
And my man, he came out with the cannon.
Alexi's playing pickleball, bro. He's just trying to have a good time.
He just likes the sound of it against the racket, you know?
Okay, I don't play profesh. I'm just trying to exercise from time to time.
What Eric, yo, Alexi was trying to play arms, hard to the body, and Ronaldo came through with a roundhouse.
Yeah, Alexi's like, so can I, and Eric responds with, and another thing. Yeah, yeah, I'm like, whoa.
Here's what I want to tell you about your mother. And you're like, no, 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 no. no.
Man, look, as soon as he says, look, and we can break down the tweet a little bit because it is silly, but it does feel like there's a little bit of, I don't know what exactly, jealousy, envy, just a little vitriol. As soon as he says,
there's got to be something behind the scenes that we don't know about. Because right. Don't forget, both of them were in broadcasting at one point.
Right.
Eric Winalda leaves to run for president of U.S. Soccer.
Yeah.
And has not been able to get back into media unless, I don't know if he's tried or whatnot.
Well, he works for Sirius. He does a radio show.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, he hasn't been back on TV since.
Sure.
So, you know, maybe there's a little...
I mean, look, you delete some of them tweets, bro. I don't tell you. Some of them tweets are a little reckless. Bro. I don't know.
You know what? Get somebody to filter your tweets before you put them out.
That's all. But as soon as he says, you were a three-time failure as a GM, which is all right. Okay, I mean, fine. But then he goes, I'm still waiting for my first opportunity. You are three strikes and back to the booth. And I think the last one is probably a joke and just sort of being playful. But the... I am still waiting for my first opportunity, which is first opportunity. I don't know what that means exactly because he has been a coach. He coached
In U.S. Open Cup.
Does he want to be a GM? Is that what is?
He also became coach of Las Vegas Lights.
Yeah,
that didn't last very long, but he was there. Mm-hmm. And then he became coach of New Amsterdam. Remember, here in New York.
I think something happened
where he wasn't actually able to follow through with the position, like before the club actually.
Yeah. So the
rumor was that the owner wanted to be in goal.
Very vaguely, yes.
Yeah.
It feels like there is a, you know, American soccer's out to get me, you know, kind of. It just feels a little strange.
It's also a good message.
To who?
If people are like, yeah, you haven't been doing much, be like, yo, the Matrix is getting me, bro.
Bro, yeah. Eric Winalda, the Andrew Tate of American soccer.
Bro, if you don't believe that I could win US Open Cup with an NPSL team, then you are an absolute moron. Why haven't I been broadcasting? Because of Greta Thunberg, bro.
You gotta go after her, bro.
Yo.
Don't order pizza in your video.
Yeah. No. Get the pizza back out of the video. I'm trying to be a coach in U.S. Open Cup.
State Tali said, Alexi tweets about the Reina situation. We eat our own, then serves up a nice and tasty dinner plate for more soccer drama. Yeah, there is a...
I love it, bro.
Yeah, I'll say this. You know, and we've been involved in American soccer for, seven, 8 years. And
we placed ourselves in it, by the way. No one asked us to
totally. But there is and I'm assuming this happens in any federation and in really any corporate structure. There's a clique. You pal around with the people you think will help you move forward and progress. I'm going to assume and being as charitable as possible that Alexi Lalas and Eric Winalda want American soccer to be as successful as possible and as competitive and can compete with European leagues and all that stuff. But maybe it's because the country is so big. Maybe it's just there's just so many people involved. There is the infighting. It's almost impossible for it to stay private. There will always be issues, disagreements, and it becomes petty. I don't know any other way to put it.
The problem is there's not enough money to go around. There's not enough opportunities.
Yeah, I guess.
So especially when these guys played, you know, how much money could they have possibly made? Obviously, they both played in Europe, but I don't think they were getting money. You know what I mean? So now you probably want those opportunities. You're not getting them. You think that there's some type of vendetta against you. And you're gonna snap a little bit.
Morgan Tenza said, yeah, that's the only reason I'm friends with y'all. You build my brand.
It's about time you've admitted it, Morgan.
No, but look.
Hooligans need to start subtweeting more. Christian has removed my ability to do so.
You have a Twitter account. Go for it.
It doesn't hit as hard.
So I don't know. I mean, I think the vision of it being this like kumbaya federation where everybody just simply gets along, it's not realistic.
It can't be that way. It's competitive.
No, exactly.
Del Boy's, by the way, Del Boy said, USA is a country 350 million people. How is U.S. soccer more incestual than the Lannisters?
Well, that's another problem. I mean, when the Reina stuff came up, I was watching Football Americas, and Sebastian Salazar mentioned this just about how within youth soccer, it's the customers are the parents. So the sport is kind of built around how the parents feel and how the parents feel their investment right. in their child is going. And so they want the coaches to treat them a certain way. They want their kids to have certain opportunities. So as soon as you introduce parents into this system,
this is going to be you in like 5-8 years.
Yeah. I'm going to beat up a referee.
Bro, but you're going to be, no.
No.
Put my child in.
Well, I'm thinking about that. And I have a child on the way, and I'm thinking, well, what kind of soccer parent am I going to be?
I see this guy. Okay, so now I need to decide what type of soccer uncle I'm going to be.
Okay.
I'm your kid's uncle, right?
No, you're not.
Yeah. Okay, cool. You guys we're are. We're not really. I am. Okay, by the way, shuts to me, bro.
But I'm not saying that you can't see the child, but, you know.
We're going to tell him I'm his uncle, though,
okay,
right?
Okay, got it.
The kid's going to grow up thinking I'm his uncle is what I'm saying.
Of course.
Yeah.
We're going to break it to him like Santa at some point. But
when I'm eating the cookies and drinking the milk.
He's not your uncle. Yeah, he's Santa Claus, actually.
There's no Santa. Now let's get to the bad news. He's also not your uncle. But, like, I need to know how I'm going to act at these games, because I could also be the angry Obama for you. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, you could. You don't want to get banned.
No, I would love to get banned. I don't want the criminal record.
I don't have to go to Jersey all the time to watch this kid play soccer. So let me be the one who acts out. You know what I mean?
Sure. And
threatens a coach.
Most of the stories I hear from a lot of players and when they talk about their parents, a lot of them, as far as the successful ones I've seen, they usually say, like, my parents didn't force me to play soccer.
No.
They didn't tell me. They let me play other sports. They just, like, let me enjoy what I enjoyed. Right. So, that's how I grew up, right? I played a bunch of different sports, but I had almost no real supervision, but guidance. Nobody said, like, oh, you should do this, you should do this, which is, like, I mean, my parents could have done a little bit more of that. Just like, hey, maybe something.
Do something, bro.
They were just like, hey, figure it out. I don't know.
Good luck.
I'm struggling over here.
Good luck out there, boy. My mother was like, you could do whatever you want. My grandfather was like, my grandfather was like very passionate that I was going to end up a Yankee player.
Right.
And it didn't happen, but we got on Yankee Stadium. We got to walk around Yankee Stadium.
Sure. And you're wearing the hat. You're wearing the hat. So
it's good enough. If you knew how much I paid for this, you'd be very upset. But if someone said, Christian already thinking about this kid's Everton contract.
Omar.
Theo Alexis teaching street economics is fan X spot. And who was it? Someone said, oh, Delboy said Alexis can see the kid under supervision. Oh, yeah, no, I suggest that as well. You know?
So I don't think I'm gonna try to force anything, but I'm gonna still be playing in my pickup games. You know, hopefully I can inspire my child to.
You gonna be that dad? But how many goals you scored today? Not as many as me.
Hell yeah, dude!
It's the big game up, my G.
Okay.
How was Uncle Alexis?
You ever seen those videos of kids playing basketball with their dads at home and like the little small hoops?
Yeah.
And the kid's trying to like shoot, and he's like, "Nah, learn how to play." You know, it's like the Kobe.
I was the same way.
Kobe was just like, "No, I'm gonna Yes, I'm 6'7" and you're 4'1", figure it out.
Eat your veggies, bro. You get here,
okay? Try to get a shot over me.
Yeah, you got my blood. If you don't get to this height, that's on you.
I was like that way with video games and like fighting games, Street Fighter, Tekken. My brother was so much better than me in Street Fighter, especially. And he's 8 years older, so I'm like, I remember being like 6-7 years old, just being like, I can't be. What am I gonna do? I've been trying literally for years. I can't win. And I probably won for the first time when I was like 10 years old or whatever. And I was just,
you
was
probably
10.
Remember the feeling.
But I remember I was like,
you beat an 18 year old. That's pretty good.
You're done, old man.
Yeah,
I beat
an adult. Your time came and has now went.
Okay. Do they got like Social Security, some sort of system for you?
Watch your hip.
Fan XY said, Christian's kid is going to be supervising Alexis.
You're calling you. Uncle Alexis is arguing again.
He's going to be like, Dad, he needs his diaper changed.
And I'm like, get in here, Christian. I'm about to be your kid in FIFA for the first time in 10 years.
So, okay, a couple other things I want to make sure we discuss. U.S. Women's National Team will be playing tonight or today. I don't know what time this game is happening, but they will be playing New Zealand. I believe they're playing two matches.
Today at 10 o'clock. 10,
which would be tomorrow for them, because they're a day ahead. Damn, bro.
head, bro.
Everybody okay in the chat? Yeah. Let me know. I didn't mean to blow your mind. So they're playing two friendlies against them, and then the She Believes Cup will be starting in February. So the a couple of things. I mean, we saw the roster. Right? Did we see? Yeah, we saw the a couple of weeks ago.
The names of
But I did. There was
it Taylor Korniak?
Korniak is on.
Yeah,
roster?
Yeah, she okay. made it, yeah. I saw her announce it.
The Kareem just said the Earth is round. Nah, bro. Kyrie, get in here.
Yeah.
See, FanXY says saw it going to be on HBO Max, which is wild. So this is what I want to talk about.
Yeah, someone did ask for an HBO Max password. We do not do that on the show. Hit me up in the DMs.
But so it is going to be an HBO Max. But I did hear today that U.S. Soccer just agreed to a broadcast deal with Telemundo.
Right, but that's for the World Cup.
No. These are for these matches, no?
I believe that was a World Cup.
Is it only going to be an HBO Max in English and Spanish? Somebody, please let me know. We'll see where we can... watch them, but so yeah, but at least if this is the case, then we know that you don't need HBO Max to watch the US MNT and women's national team, which I feel like, do most people have HBO Max?
I think that's like not that popular yet.
It's not? Okay. I don't know. It feels weird to have HBO associated with the brand of associated with the sport. I'm not thinking of HBO when I'm like, I need to watch a soccer game or I want to watch NBA.
Yeah. That's because they're not the Sopranos, you know?
Okay. They should do, like promos and bring in the HBO shows into, you know, the Wire with Megan Rapinoe kind of.
It's so dope.
Okay.
So dope.
I would love to see it. So, but I did want to talk about the NWSL draft a little bit because that happened last week and there were a couple notable moves and pickups. So Alyssa Thompson, who got taken by Angel City FC, I believe they traded up to get that spot. She is how old is she? She is 18 years old.
She is like a superstar already.
Yes, and she's already played for the U.S. Women's National Team, the senior team, and she has two caps. And she skipped going to college. She had committed to Stanford, who has a great soccer program. We all know that. So she skipped going to Stanford, and went straight to NWSL. And this is, we're not used to seeing this, but it's kind of cool to see. I mean,
didn't somebody do this last year?
Yes, this was it. Trinity?
Did Trinity not go to college?
Trinity? Who was it?
Ashley Sanchez, maybe.
I
know Mal Pugh did this.
Mal Pugh did this. Mm-hmm. So, but for it to, and Mal Pugh had a similar trajectory where she played on the women's national team, senior team before. Right.
Trinity went to Washington State University.
Okay. But no, still.
She never played a match in college, though. However, her freshman season was canceled due to COVID-19.
Got it. Casey Current, Kevincho Singh, Michelle Cooper on our squad. But this, Lynn Williams, that's what I wanted to talk about. Lynn Williams, yeah. Who's been on our show. Go check out our episode.
The homie.
With her. She was awesome on it. We had her and Sam Ewis on the show. Obviously, both KC Current players at the time. And now, Lynn Williams, I believe, was it in the... was it in training or the Challenge Cup? She tore her ACL and
right. she had a season-ending injury.
So she signed with Kansas City Current, but have never played a game and never got a chance. So she was traded to Gotham FC,
mm-hmm.
And this is I guess it's a bit of a shock, but look, she's a great player.
Absolutely.
We don't know what she will be like after the injury. That's kind of a big risk. That's sort of the main concern.
Right.
So my main question is this decision from Gotham. Gotham were in last place last year in NWSL, and they are, making this is a big move. So they're going to have, obviously, Anumanu, Mitch Purse, mm-hmm. and Lynn Williams up front. So that's an exciting attacking.
Lynn Williams, I mean, pre-injury, obviously national team quality. I'm assuming she can get back to that.
Yeah.
So it could be really, really exciting.
Do you take that risk? Do you keep the draft pick and try go with someone out of college?
The simple answer is if you don't think there's someone at that position, if you think you have someone you want to pick and you can wait for a later round, no one else is going to take them,
mm-hmm.
and you want to take that risk and you think you could flip this for a national team player who, if she gets back to the level she was before the injury, was clearly world class, I think, yeah, you got to do that.
Yeah, I think, a lot of people have mentioned this, but Gotham, especially last year, were bad in the midfield. They just, especially when Ally Long... she didn't play at all that season. Obviously, she gave birth to twins. But the midfield was pretty weak. I mean, they had a tough time maintaining the ball. They were in last place for a reason.
Right.
So they have Christy Mewis, which was a great addition.
Yeah, they've got some nice names.
But I think
put them together? You know, the coach just left too. The assistant coach, at least, she just went to go become an assistant coach. At Angel City.
Angel City, I believe. I forgot the new coach's name. He's, I think, Spanish. Mm-hmm. I forgot his name. We got to get him on the show.
Come on now.
So, and Kevin just said they got to sell some seats. And this is, look, that's a very important part.
She's a big name.
It seems like, I don't know what the, I don't know if it's the same problem like that Red Bull have and whatever. I feel like online and on social media, Gotham have a strong presence, and I think a lot of people around the country know the team.
Right.
But when it comes locally,
local market,
that's like the really tough part.
And it's just also difficult to get people out in this area.
But they need to be good.
Yeah,
that's the first thing. I mean, I think they have everything else in place when the team is good, and it's easier to sell tickets when the team is good.
Yeah, for sure.
Another way to put it. Okay.
Hopefully this maybe they can win a little bit, and that turns them around.
Okay. And Meg Linehan, who is currently in New Zealand, I believe. Yeah.
She's out there
covering the games. She mentioned this from Vlatko Andonovski, the head coach of the U.S. Women's National Team, in regards to Sam Mewis. Sam Mewis also has she was injured and has not played for. Did she play at all for Kansas City Current? I think she played a couple games, if I'm not mistaken. He mentioned, this is a quote, he says, it's a long-term injury, does not want to go into details, and said they don't want to comment on the timeline or possible return at all. So obviously Sam Mewis would be a great addition to having the U.S., having her on the U.S. Women's National Team during the World Cup. And to hear that they have no idea when she might come back is a little bit concerning. So, my question now, as far as how we feel about how the U.S. is going to do in this World Cup, I'll say this: I think I'm getting a little worried because the loss to Spain, the loss to England. I think there's I don't know if it's simply like the talent is there.
There's a refresh that needs to happen. It still feels like we're holding on to...
I do not agree at all.
Older names, older style.
Nah, bro.
I think other nations have caught up a little bit, not to the degree.
You think who on the team now...
Megan Rapinoe.
You think is... No, but Megan Rapinoe doesn't even start. And when she does play...
She does help.
She does help.
Because she comes off the bench. But I'm just saying, like, overall, you know... And I think a lot of teams do this. You hold on to the guys or the girls who won, And you're like, they'll permeate that winning culture throughout. It doesn't always work that way. Sometimes it's sort of like, you know, heavy is the head that wears a crown. Sometimes it's better to get a set of new ideas. I'd love to see, you know, Trinity Rodman start, Ashley Sanchez start, some of these younger players.
That's been so Trinity hasn't gotten that many minutes with the U.S. And people are a little bit there is a debate online of like, yo, why isn't Trin getting more time? Kevin just said competition getting better, which is that was a point I was going to make. I think I think COVID and not having many international friendlies hurt the U.S. probably more than it hurt the teams, the other countries that they were competing against. They look, especially the game against England, it's not that they look lost or anything like that. It's just like the competition is just so much better.
Yeah.
And I'm getting a little nervous, especially after watching the NWSL final, which Portland Thorns dominated. I'm getting a little worried that NWSL, I'm just going to say this, even though it doesn't feel right, it doesn't feel like the strongest league in the world.
I mean, to be honest, it feels like other leagues have caught up.
Because the Women's Super League is feeling like it might be the place to go. I mean, you're seeing, and then we were talking about this before about transfers and stuff. You're seeing big money, relatively in women's soccer, relatively big money transfers for female players,
right,
which we're not used to seeing, but a lot of it is happening in Europe.
Well, the thing is, MLS, NWSL had a head start. They've had eyes on them. They've had the superstars. They've had World Cup stars from a lot of nations playing there. How have you used this? You know, they've had their own troubles. They've had a lot of issues that they've had to investigate. People getting fired. There's issues with presidents being asked to leave. Finance is not in order. You know, some place like the WSL very quickly could just learn from the structure around them and create a league that is maybe progressing at a faster rate than NWSL. And NWSL may need to start using that little bit of buffer that they had of sort of being the league of note, the league of desire to be at for a long period of time, and hopefully that money part can catch up. Players need to be getting paid a lot more. Players need to be making more money from whatever the ad revenue coming in is. More ad revenue needs to be coming in. That other part of it that we don't have, like Europe just doesn't need TV revenue in order to be solvent.
Sure.
Where we do.
Yeah, without a doubt. And that's been a big thing too. In Women's Super League, they're really selling tickets to some of these games.
Yeah, man.
Just small clubs, big clubs. I mean, yeah, some teams struggle more than others.
But just watching, you know, a lot of my friends that are Arsenal fans, Arsenal ladies is getting talked about a lot more.
Dude, I mean, Emirates didn't they sell like 45,000 for a match recently? So, and these are not like an FA Cup final type things. They're genuinely selling lots and lots of tickets for these games. And the and again, that is you can see what the moves and decisions they've made locally to just raise the popularity of the team and the women's side of you know, if clubs have a women's side in England, it's working out and it's getting to the point. There was just a
if England wins the Women's World Cup, it's going to be a great boost to the WSL.
Yeah.
But it might mean...
And winning the Euros was huge.
Huge.
So, again, the competition just in the global market, we're at the risk of losing players.
Mm-hmm.
If the leagues thrive and there's a lot of money and a lot of competitors, like women's La Liga is probably not, because it's really, again, the two teams that are really dominating.
Right. But women's Liga MX is also on the come up.
Sure. But yeah, so a little bit concerned what this World Cup is gonna look like, because
let's see what happens post World Cup.
I don't know what the, you know, who is the start, who is the guaranteed starting 11 first game in the World Cup? Who do you want there? There's a lot of
questions. But like, I do still want Rodman, Ashley Sanchez. I want that younger core.
Right. But I mean, look, Sophia Smith is a lock, right?
Has to be there.
Has to be there.
Hopefully Midge Purse.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of competition there. I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll talk about it more. We'll figure it out, everybody. Anything else before we wrap up?
Andrew Johnson said England winning the Women's World Cup would be a death nail to NWSL. I believe it's also death knell.
Mm.
I believe it's like K-N-E-L-L.
Let's check it out.
It is death knell. It's the tolling of a bell to mark someone's death.
Death nail.
Knell.
Knell, knell, knell. Okay.
K-N-E-L-L.
10 forwards, said Matt Graham. Let's go.
Yo. Oh, we going to score. And you know what? So will you.
I don't know if we're at, if that's necessarily the concern. I mean, because the U.S. has won the last two Women's World Cups, and it's not like it has propelled NWSL into just, you know, I don't think it necessarily hurts.
No, but the league is bubbling over there. If they prove that with a big win, the win against the U.S. at Wembley was huge.
Right, right.
Sold out in less than 24 hours, massive stadium, was all the buzz. It was huge.
Right. So the, but we'll see. We'll see. Okay. Let's wrap up, everybody. Thank you.
No. We got to do a little taste test.
Oh, my goodness.
Shouts.
Why didn't you mention this way earlier?
Shouts. Here we go. Okay. You open that one. I'll open the spicy one. Shouts to, Saucy Rebellion, who sent us these. I had tweeted out that, that's it. I said, that's it. I made a call.
you tweeted out.
Mumbo or Mambo sauce. You could spell it either way. Is the best regional sauce in the country. I just don't think there's any question.
Mumbo sauce, yes.
Mumbo and Mambo. That one says, the bottle says Mambo.
So this says Mambo, but this is...
It's the same thing. You could spell it either way you want.
Oh, I always thought it was Mumbo. I mean, I'm thinking...
It is. I spell it Mumbo sauce, but again, you could spell it any way you want.
I prefer Mambo number 5 sauce.
Okay. You know what? I actually said, is he going to get this joke?
I didn't want to, but...
Yeah. So here, I got a couple of cups.
This is not barbecue sauce.
No. So this is Mambo sauce.
Let me see if these cameras...
Or Mumbo sauce.
Let me see if these cameras are working.
I can do this.
No, it's not close enough. Hold on. Let me see if...
Can you switch on the main?
I can. Let me see if this... I don't know if it's in focus. There you go. okay, so that's...
So this is Saucy Rebellion Mambo
Does
sauce.
Does mine work? I don't know if my camera's in focus. It is in focus.
We fixed it.
All right, cool.
Okay. Unlike anything you've enjoyed, try tempting tradition of this legendary Mambo sauce lives on. Now in thick and spicy, this sweet heat takes the fight to the mundane meals. What an odd way of putting
it. But we were in D.C.
Well, this is the thing. You've tried this.
I've tried this, and it's very good.
Incredible. But you've never had it before. You were like, when I ordered it, you were like, I'm not going anywhere.
Well, I thought it was something else.
Yeah. And then when I got it, you were like, wait, can I try that? Because you would think, what did you think it was? You thought it was like chip, like pieces of like fruit and vegetable or something in there.
Yeah,
right?
When I heard the name, I just thought it was just something more like a pico de gallo type
thing. Hey, thank you, Andrew Alvarez, for becoming a member.
Hey, appreciate you. Thank you.
And that's a Ripple fan. All right. So why don't you smell that? What do you smell? Okay. Do you remember the sauce?
It smells like McDonald's barbecue sauce.
Okay. And the whole DMV area is mad at you.
That's what it smells like. I don't know.
I don't want to put too much.
Don't.
You're not a fan of drinking sauce like I am. It's what we do in my house.
Okay.
Okay. A little salute.
A salute. Vamos.
Saucy Rebellion. Let's give it a try. So you've had Mambo sauce.
Right.
So let's see what we think of Saucy Rebellion. A lot sweeter.
It's pretty sweet.
Okay. And this is...
It tastes like a combination of McDonald's barbecue sauce and sweet and sour sauce.
Okay. So a lot of people think that's what it is, really.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's actually a mixture of like ketchup, barbecue sauce, Vietnamese style sauce. There's a bunch in there. No one knows for sure. You got to go to the... As they say, you got to go to the Chinese spots.
Right.
That's where you got to go if you want it. So... That was the sweet and spicy. A little spice, nothing crazy, right? Was that crazy?
No, it was not crazy at all.
All right, so let's try.
That's the one we had.
That's the one we had.
Mambo sauce.
That's the original. So this is the thick and spicy one.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to put this in a different cup. You excited?
I can't say I am, but
hold on.
It's, It's fine. I just realized I'm like drinking the sauce. I'm like, what am I? What have I done with my life?
There's also a little. Oh, okay. Already much thicker.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Why is my mumble sauce making it clap?
Bro, it took forever to get to my mouth. This is, okay. You might like this one a little more. Not as tart.
I don't have all day.
Not as tart. Yeah, it's taking forever. This is what you want to coat wings in right here, is this bad boy. Yeah, that takes forever.
Mm.
What are your thoughts?
Spicier?
A little spicier? Definitely thicker. You could taste it.
Yes.
You could feel it. Viscosity, but also, how about this little treat?
More
candy jalapenos.
Both good. I mean, look, I think the biggest problem here is that I'm not eating with food. This is like sauce straight to the dome is a little bit not really my steez, bro.
I've never had candied jalapenos. Have you?
I have not.
I got us forks.
Okay.
Ooh, I could already. Oh, I'm gonna love this. You are not.
Okay.
Gonna take from the top as well.
Are these spicy or no? You take, well, candied, right? So they wouldn't be spicy.
But they're jalapenos.
Oh, they're jalapenos. I didn't realize what they were.
So I call them candy jalapenos.
Okay.
Oh, that's fun. Put that in a sandwich. Put that in a sandwich right now.
A little spicy, but good.
The spice hits right at the end.
Yeah.
The sweetness isn't like overwhelming, right?
No, not at all.
You have less of a palate for sweet than I do, and you don't think it's overwhelming, which lets you know, oh, it's subtle.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that a lot.
In a sandwich, I would do that.
Right? Should we keep this in the studio, or does this go to my house?
This
is the big test right here, Saucy Rebellion.
Maybe one of them?
The candy jalapenos. You want to add this to your sandwiches after we bring them back to the stew?
Sure. Yeah, let's keep it. I want it. Actually, bro, you can't have any. It's all mine.
He's going to drink both, bro. Bro, shouts to Saucy Rebellion. Thank you for sending that. Guys, tweet out your favorite sauce. Someone might send you sauce.
There we go. Saucy Rebellion. What, are they on Twitter or whatever?
I believe they are. Yeah. Is it on here? They're in Clearwater, Florida. Manufactured for Shameless Tavern. Maybe that's a... A company, refrigerate after opening. All right. Look at this. Cholesterol-free, fat-free, sodium-free.
That's what I'm talking about, dog.
Bro, sodium-free, my G.
Saucy Rebellion. There it is on Twitter. Go show them some love. Say, yo, I saw Christian, wincing at the spice on on the show.
Well, I'm going to try something crazy. I'm going to put one of the candy jalapenos in the sauce.
Wow, bro.
Let's see what it is, bro.
Nobody can control Alexis, bro.
Saucy Rebellion's like, that's not me to do that.
All right.
Like one of those, childhood commercials where they're like, it was an accident at the factory.
While Alexis is doing that, I'll say thank you, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate all the love. Thanks for listening.
Bro, you got
thanks
mix for
washing.
Would you have some left?
I do have some.
This one right here, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Get in there.
Okay. Well.
Bro, thank you for watching. Make sure you subscribe. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the little bell so you know when we're on. Mm-hmm. Shouts to Andrew Alvarez for becoming a member. We love our members. What do we think?
Good.
It's very good.
Very good.
I love it. You guys are doing a good job, Saucy Rebellion.
We will be in, a reminder, we will be in Orlando for...
Este weekend.
This weekend for the Premier League Mornings Live Fan Fest. Come join us. You can go register our... you can see the tweet... it's a little spicy.
I got him now.
Our pinned tweet, if you want to go register, if you're going to be in Orlando. But we should find out soon who's going to be there. Maybe there'll be celebs, okay?
It'll be fun.
Meeting us, all right?
Come talk to us. We'll be around.
So if you see us there, please say hello. Let us take a photo with you. We want a photo with you.
Yeah. In fact, we're going to start walking out to people. We go, oh my God, can I get a picture? And you're going to think, we think you're a celebrity.
But I'm really stoked. We're going to have a dope time. The last one in Philly was...
Bananas.
We had such a great time. So
I would say it was a Saucy Rebellion. It was so good.
Look at that. So we're going to be the MCs, joking around, having a good time. We're also going to record a No Cap Recap. Hopefully with one of the celebs that are out there. So Join Patreon, patreon.com/soccercooligans for those exclusive podcasts and a bunch of other content that we put up there. And anything else?
No. Thank you so much for hanging out. Obviously, you know, you guys are the best. We love you.
We do love you. All right, everybody. Peace. Take care. We'll see you soon. Peace.
Bye.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.